Let's open the Proverbs chapter number 8 and let's read this. We're going to start with verse number 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth at the top of the high places, and by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gate in the entering of the city, and at the coming in at the door. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of understanding hearts. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and the wickedness is an abomination unto my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. Receive my instructions, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are to be compared, are not to be compared with it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Fear the Lord the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, an evil way, and a forward mouth do I hate. We'll stop right there with our reading. I want to talk about wisdom and understanding that have the power to preserve our life. Proverbs chapter 8 is a very interesting chapter in the way that the Lord has given it to us. It's going to talk about a relationship between wisdom and understanding, a union, if you will, a marriage. I want you to notice these words. It says in verse number 2, she standeth in the top of the high places. Notice in verse number 3, she crieth at the gates. We're going to talk about what that she is. And we're going to compare these. I got 15 statements. We're not going to get through all of them today. But 15 things that we see that are here about wisdom. And then we're going to talk about all the wonderful things that God has given us to learn through here. And common sense things He gives us. He gives us 10 common sense things. And then 10 admonishings that He gives us in this chapter to help us as His children to learn what He has for us. So we're going to talk about this tonight. And it'll probably be another Wednesday night in this chapter. But let's go ahead and pray and have our lesson. Father, thank You now for tonight. Thank You for those of us that are here. Again, I thank You that Brother Emmanuel's here, and today's his birthday, and he chose to be in church on his birthday. And guide and direct our services tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. All may be seated. Wisdom, understanding. They're powerful things, and they can change our life, preserve our life, strengthen us in life, and guide us in everything God has for us. So, there are things that He wants us to know. So, here it says, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice in verse 1? She standeth at in the tops of the high places, and by the way, in the places of the paths. So here, we're considering wisdom and understanding together. They're not to be separated at this point. God's saying wisdom, we need wisdom, and we need understanding, we need to put them together. So you might like to put it this way, there must be a marriage or a union then between wisdom and understanding in order for us to be able to function as a believer in a non-believing society. I have to live in this world, but I don't have to be of this world. I have to live on this earth, but I don't have to do the sins of this earth. I don't have to be a part of the corruption that man walks in purposely. I can be different, but for me to be different, then God's telling us that we as believers must have a union between wisdom and understanding. They have to come together, the understanding of wisdom. They produce common sense when we put them together. Common sense is that knowledge that keeps us going on a day-by-day basis without having to stop and figure everything else. It's just common sense. Common sense says you don't pick up a gun and shoot somebody in the head just because you get mad at them. Common sense says that you obey the laws of the road while you're driving down the road. Common sense says you don't talk back to your parents. Common sense says that you be a good employee, even if the employer may not be doing something you care for. Common sense says we don't commit sin in order to please somebody. Okay? So there's just some things that common sense gives us. But good common sense doesn't come from the world of world's wisdom. Good common sense comes from God's wisdom. That doesn't mean all common sense then comes from God, because that's not true. Because the world has a common sense. But God says, if you really and I really want to have a productive Christian life in the middle of a sin-cursed world, then you and I need to have a marriage between wisdom and understanding. So that wisdom and understanding is called a name here. We saw it in verses 2 and 3. It's the word she. Wisdom is, of course, is seeing life from God's point of view. Seeing ourselves from God's point of view. And knowing how to treat others from God's point of view. While understanding is the application or the applying of the view of God to comprehend it and to accept it. Thus, the application of life in light of seeing life from God's perspective, we simply accept it and go forward. So in order to do this, there's a marriage then, or a union between wisdom and understanding. And why to keep with the use of the scriptural term she? So since she is the reference of wisdom and understanding as one, then I'm going to use that as I give you these understandings of what wisdom and understanding do as one partner. Okay? We partner with them, but they're married one to another. In other words, they become one. In a marriage, a husband and a wife are no longer individuals. They're one being. A husband leaves his father and his mother, the wife leaves her father and his mother, and they become one flesh. And they dwell with each other. That's what wisdom and understanding are. They're become one in us. Looking at life from God's point of view, looking at ourselves from God's point of view, looking at others from God's point of view, accepting it, acknowledging it, accepting it, and following it. See? So, I'm going to use the word she as I go through these then, in reference to the marriage between wisdom and understanding. So, she, number one, she's all around you and I. What is wisdom and understanding? It's all around us. That verse 1, 2, and 3 says this, does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth at the top of the high places, by the way of the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates and at the entrance to the city, at the coming in at the door. So she's everywhere. We need wisdom and understanding everywhere we go. Everywhere I go, everywhere you go, every place we travel, whether it's at work, at home, at play, at school, at shopping, no matter where we're at or what we're doing, we need to apply God's point of view, and we need to believe it, we need to accept it, we need to comprehend it, and we need to apply it to our life. So where? Everywhere. Number two, she, wisdom and understanding, is for the unperverted. Look at verses 4 through 9. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. So it's to you and me. Who's calling? She is. Who is she? Wisdom and understanding. So God's saying that wisdom is calling to you and I, everywhere we go. O ye simple. That word simple means this. Unpleaded, someone who has no wisdom and has not set in any way or direction in their life. You can be an adult and still be unpleaded. Simple-minded. Simple-minded not in that you have a retardation, as some folks will refer to as somebody who's simple-minded. But simple-minded in the fact that you don't have a plan. You don't have a direction that you're going in. You have no rules that you follow in your life that are godly rules. You have no policy, so it's unpleaded, or there's no boundaries put in your life by God that you have to live by. Now, for a Christian, that's not a good place to be. We need to have those boundaries. We need to have wisdom. We need to have to be set in a direction that God wants you and I to go. So ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. A fool, I hate to use this word, but if you look it up in the dictionary, you're going to see a word applied to it, and it's going to be the word stupid. And that's not a really sweet word to use, but people who are foolish are acting stupid. They act like they have no common sense. They act like they have no brains in their head. Is that right? That's a foolish person. And if you look it up, you'll find that that was one of the words that described the word foolish. I don't care for that word, but God doesn't care for the word foolish either. But God tells us the reality of man. God doesn't hide our foolishness from us. He speaks honestly to you and I. And He says, "And ye fools have an understanding heart." He wants everybody, the unpleaded and the foolish, to turn to wisdom and understanding. Verse number 6. "Hear, for I will speak excellent things." What is? She is. Who's she? Wisdom and understanding. "I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." So these are the things that we ought to do. Sometimes you say to yourself, what's the right thing to do? Well, I got the answer for you. Are you ready? Wisdom and understanding. We go to wisdom and understanding and put them together in our life. We take God's life from God's point of view, and we take the look at ourselves from God's point of view, and we look at others from the point of view that God gives us, and we accept it, comprehend it, and live by it. That's what we need to do. So then we know what to do sometimes. When we say, I don't know what to do, here's the answer. This is the thing to do. It depends on God. Go to wisdom and understanding. Grab her. "For here I will speak unto you excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." So He's always giving us the right things to do. There is no question with God. There's no, uh-oh, I made a mistake with God. There's like, oh, I'm not sure what to do either. God always knows what to do. We as people don't always know what to do, so we can always run back to wisdom and understanding to know the steps of what we ought to do. And by the way, sometimes we're running in the wrong direction, and if we go to wisdom and understanding, we'll say, well, I don't really want to do that, but that's still the right thing to do. See, that's the right thing to do. Right? Look in verse 7. "For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness..." Now, we're going to stop with that word wicked just for a moment. Let me give you some information on that word wicked. Wicked means iniquity. Iniquity is to do amiss, or to make crooked or perverted, or to do perversely, to do wickedly, intentionally, or with premeditated thoughts to do wickedly. It's a gross immorality or injustice, wickedness is. It's a gross immoral act, we refer to often as sin. A lack of justice or and righteousness in the actions that we take towards another. That's injustice, an unjust act of wickedness. It is a sin because we missed the mark. But it's much deeper. It's a calculated, intentional, immoral act. Here's what verse 7 says then. Verse 7 says, "For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips." The word abomination means something disgusting. Something disgusting morally. So God says, this wickedness is an abomination. It's a disgusting thing to my lips. So God doesn't even talk about it. See? It's not a part of Him. Which tells me this. I need to be careful how I speak. If this is what God's teaching us, wisdom and understanding is. And He says to us in verse 7, "For my mouth shall speak truth." So then what should we speak? Truth. "And wickedness is an abomination to my lips." So what should be an abomination to my lips and your lips? Wickedness. And what do we learn that wickedness is? It's iniquity. It's to do amiss, or to take a crooked or perverted or perversely, or to do wickedly intentionally or premeditatedly, to do a wicked act. A gross immorality or injustice. It's a wickedness. So we need to make sure that we're not making that a part of our speech. So then when I say something about somebody that may or may not be true, I'm acting wickedly then, aren't I? If something may be true, but I'm telling it outside of the information that's needed, for example, it's gossip, then I'm really acting wickedly then, aren't I? So it's very important then that we understand this. Not only understand it, are you ready? Apply it and accept it.
Amen.
it's hard to accept sometimes when we do things like we do. But it's still wrong, even though we don't like to accept it. Look at verse number 8 now. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse. The word forward and perverse means distorted, or false, or crooked, or twisted. So all the words of God are in righteousness, and there's nothing twisted or distorted or perverted about it. In them, there's no words that are that way. So all the words of my mouth in righteousness, there's nothing forward or perverse in them. So God's not twisting nothing. He's giving us the truth. How many times in your lifetime have you just wished somebody just tell you the truth? Not give you any opinion, not give you any view, just tell you the plain old truth. Not distort it, not embellish it, just give it to you. And God says in wisdom and understanding, that's what He gives you and me. Just flat, plain truth. Undistorted, unperverted. Verse number 9, they are all plain to him that understandeth. Remember, understanding is to apply the view of God, to comprehend it and to accept it. They are all plain to him that understand, and right to them that find knowledge. Knowledge is awareness gained through experience of living in wisdom and understanding. Remember, that was one of our 10 words at the very beginning. There are 10 words at the very beginning of the book of Proverbs that we said, I said, will be repeated over and over again through the book of the word of Proverbs. Wisdom is it. Understanding is one. Knowledge is another. The word knowledge means awareness gained through experience of living in wisdom and understanding. So as I live in wisdom and understanding, I gain experience. The more I gain, more experience I gain, the better off I am. The more experience you gain, the better off you are. How do I gain that experience? By living it. Living what? Living in with her. Who's her? Wisdom and understanding. Looking at life from God's perspective. Looking at myself from God's perspective. Looking at how to treat others from God's perspective. Then comprehending it, applying it, and accepting it. So when I do that, I gain experience. So knowledge is the awareness or gaining of experience, gained through experiencing, awareness gained through experiencing, living in wisdom and understanding. So that's what the second thing is here then. So we learn number one, she's all around us. Who is wisdom and understanding? Number two, she's unperverted. She's unperverted, verses 4 through 9. Number three, she's more valuable than anything we could seek after. She's more valuable than anything we can seek after. What do we seek after? We seek after money or silver and gold, to make it plain. We want that which is of value. But God says that wisdom and understanding is a marriage of one in our life is more valuable than all the silver and all the gold that you and I could get. Look in verse number 10. Receive my instructions and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. So, receive my instruction. Instruction is another word that we learned of those 10 words at the very beginning of our study. Instruction is another one. Instruction means reproof or a warning or an authoritative direction to be obeyed. So, let me give you an instruction. Son, take out the trash. That's an instruction. That's an authoritative direction that's to be obeyed. Okay? Clean your room. That would be instruction. 1 + 1 = 2. That's an instruction. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. That's the alphabet. I just gave you an instruction. Those are the instructions of how to understand the English language. Know your alphabet. I just gave you the alphabet. What is that? That's instruction. What does instruction do? It's an authoritative direction to being obeyed. You can't read the English language if you come up with your own alphabet. Amen. You can't balance your checkbook if you don't understand 1 + 1 = 2 and 2 - 2 = 0. We have to understand the directions that are given to us, the instruction that we receive. We must do it. We must apply it. So that's instruction. Instruction then is reproof or warning or an authoritative direction to be obeyed. Receive my instructions. I'm going to teach you something. You need, it's an authoritative statement that needs to be obeyed. Receive my instructions, and not silver. So what's more valuable, silver or God's instructions? His instruction. What's His instruction to you and I? Wisdom and understanding, being married together in one. And find out knowledge. Knowledge. What is knowledge? Awareness gained through experience of living in wisdom and understanding. So, receive my instructions and not silver, and knowledge. So, gain that awareness. Find that awareness that you've gained because you're living the direction that God's told you and I to live in, rather than choice gold. So, getting knowledge and instruction is more important than getting silver and gold. We'll work 40 hours a week to make enough gold so we can spend a whole bunch of silver. So we can obtain all sorts of things that sit on shelves, hang on walls, and are only used once in a while. So we can gaze upon them and let other people see that which we've obtained. God says wisdom and understanding being put together in your life to the place where you get instruction and knowledge are more important than you working 40 hours a week or 48 hours a week or 56 hours a week to get all that overtime so you can buy all that other stuff. God says, get this, it's more important. It's more important that our children understand wisdom and get understanding so that they can, in their life, receive God's instructions and have knowledge than this for them to learn the ABCs. Or 1 + 1 = 2. Now, I'm not saying that those aren't important. I'm saying that this of God's direction is more important. Because it's going to keep them a whole lot safer than the ABCs are. And they may know how to read every book that there is in the world, but if they don't have wisdom and understanding, they're never going to have knowledge. No matter how much book learning they get. Now, book learning sounds like a Southern kind of term, don't it? They got some book learning. They're getting awful smart. But the truth is that you can read every book in the world and you can have all the knowledge that the world has to offer and not have anything from God. Because the world teaches us we came from a monkey. And I didn't come from no monkey. If I came from a monkey, I would have used my tail all the way up to today. You ever had your arms full of stuff and try to get inside a door? Just think, if you had a tail, you could flip that tail around there, open up that door, and back right on in, buddy, with the arms full of things that you have. Did you ever get tired of sitting somewhere? If I had a tail, I could put up a bar, wrap my tail around it, and hang around for a little while. So don't tell me it fell off because I wouldn't have used it, because I figured out ways to use it. I didn't come from a monkey. God created us in His image and in His likeness. We are not an accident. We were purposely made for God's glory and honor. God created man so that man could worship God. We didn't get here just so that we could be a bunch of animals. I'm not an animal. I'm a human being. And I didn't come from an animal. By the way, I just got to ask all these questions all the time. If we really did have evolution, then why don't we have some intermediate evolutionary things going on right now? So there should be a half man, half monkey out here somewhere that we could see on a regular basis. And they're not children. Amen? Then there should be some evolutionary things continuing to go on. Just because it happened doesn't mean it ceased to happen. It has to continually go. And so we're not done if we're being evolving. But wait a minute. That's the world's knowledge. God says, trust me. I created you. In fact, it takes more faith to believe in evolution and the Big Bang Theory and all them other theories about the existence of human beings than it does to believe creation. Because you have to break every scientific law that there is out there for the Big Bang to have taken place, because energy can't come from nowhere. And yet, all this energy suddenly came out of nowhere and there was this Big Bang. And suddenly, out of no place, came something. But nothing can come from nothing. And that's the scientific teaching. So sciences must be wrong. So I have to put my faith in science? No, I'm never going to put my faith in man. Man's always making up things that aren't true. One day coffee's good for you, the next day coffee's not. Somebody made a mistake somewhere. One day you can eat meat, next day you can't eat meat because now it's no good for you. We constantly are changing that which is good and bad and right and wrong. We now call good evil and evil good in this country and in this world. Why? Because we're all mixed up. So it's more important then that our children learn God's wisdom and God's understanding so that they can get proper instructions and get correct knowledge than it is for them to learn everything the world has to teach. I'm not opposed to us learning what the world has to teach. But I want us to grasp it from God's point of view so we can have truth rather than not truth. So we can discern, we can have discernment for us to be able to say, this is true and this isn't true. And this is true because God said da, 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 da. And this is false because this is how it goes against God's word, and God's always right. Because what did He just tell us? He said here, for verse 7, for my mouth shall speak truth. I can depend on God. He's going to give me the truth. Whether I want to hear it or not, He's going to give it to me. It's funny. We'll ask things like, well, how do I look? We really don't want truth. We want a compliment. Okay? Does this really make me look good? Do you think this looks good on me? I guess so. That is not the answer you're looking for. We're actually looking for a compliment, aren't we? We're not really looking for truth. But God's willing to give us truth all the time. I love that about God. He wants to give us truth. He's not going to twist it. He's not going to turn it. He's not going to sugarcoat it. He's going to give it to us, the truth. And we need to accept it and understand that He's telling us the truth. The truth. So, verse number 10, receive my instructions and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. So it's more valuable. Let's do verse 11 and we're done. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. There's nothing that can compare to having God's wisdom. There's nothing on this earth that is as valuable as looking at life from God's perspective. So that would tell me the most important thing that I could do in my Christian life is to read, understand, comprehend, apply, and accept the book of Proverbs in my life. Because it's going to change my life. Well, I got some good stuff for you next week. But that's a good place to stop for us. Father, thank you for what we've learned today. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you guide us.